Welcome back. You're listening to Voices from the Frontline. This is Manuel Criollo, and I'm here with Eric Mann. Next on the show, we have Marta Sanchez, and I think we'll also be joined later on by Jose Jax Medina. Marta and Jose are longtime organizers in the immigrant rights and Mexican movement, and currently residing in Mexico City. They are members of the Frente Nacional por la Unidad y Autonomía Sindical, the National Front for the Unity and Autonomy of Unions, a coalition of independent unions in Mexico. The coalition has called for a national strike on April 28th in solidarity with the May 1st day of action here in the United States. Welcome to the show, Marta.
Thank you very much, and thanks for inviting me.
Well, Marta, let's start off to talk about, you know, in many ways, a lot of the conversation around immigration here in the U.S. talks a lot about Mexican workers either taking jobs or stealing jobs, and yet they act like as Mexico is some big graveyard that it doesn't sit in real connection with the United States, that the United States is actually, you know, their imposition inside of Mexico is pushing a lot of Mexican workers out to the United States. How has the general population been seeing the debate inside Mexico?
Well, one of the reasons why we're working here so hard is to get support for the struggle in the United States, because one of the phenomena that we're dealing with is that once we're outside working, it's like we become non-existent for both countries. The U.S. wants us invisible, just working, and Mexico just seems to want us to keep sending money to our families. So the migrant worker, and this is what we've been working against, it's like left out on his own or her own from both the representatives, the new country and the old country. Both are remote and just hoping that he keeps on working and sending money.
Mm-hmm. Where's President Fox? I know that in many ways when he first came in, he attempted to sort of be a conciliator with the U.S. on a lot of questions, like from Cuba to, you know, the free trade to the Americas, in hope that he would be able to get some agreement from George Bush of some form of immigration legalization for a lot of Mexican immigrants. How's he stood on this debate at this moment?
Well, he's not really representing the will of the migrant community. He's really has been trying to cater to the empire and just to sort of give him the seal of approval that we are good guys and we will behave. And he doesn't realize that this is an economic struggle that has to do with forces of market, that it's an economic issue, and it doesn't matter how nice you behave, it still follows the interest of capital, of the transnational industry. So Fox is totally out of it. Right now, when we are asking for amnesty or any type of legalization that doesn't imply temporarily, mm-hmm. because our jobs are not temp jobs, they're full-time jobs. Their job for always, and our hunger and our families is not temporary. And we don't want anything that's temporary, because we have gained rights over there that have to do with seniority and that have to do with a lot of men hours put in work for our president to say that a temp job is fine, just go work and come back. And what about the millions and millions of man hours of work that command rights that are being denied to the workers? So Mr. Fox has always been outside the stream of the will of his own people over there.
Hi, this is Eric Mann. I'm with Marta Sanchez. How are you, Marta?
Hi, Eric.
Tell us something. What is the state of the movement? I'm sure you know in the United States that, you know, there's been an absolute explosion of the immigrant movement. There's been people working on immigrant rights here for 30, 40, 50 years, but this is similar to the black explosion in late 50, early 60s. Something radically different is happening. What is it like trying to build a movement in Mexico City? Is there a social movement? How successful do you think the April 28th general strike will be in Mexico City and throughout Mexico?
Well, we've been working very, very hard with organized labor because, as I said, we feel that basically this is a workers' issue and that the organized labor has to be involved. And what we're trying to convene is that this is a binational struggle. It's not a struggle from the ones over there or the ones over here. This is binational. Whatever happens to our people over there has immediate repercussions to our people over here. And it is a fact. It is true. Anything that happens in the United States with a migrant community has repercussions in the families here, immediate repercussions. So it may be that the government can be aloof and not and try to override the tide, but our families are suffering and our families are worried, and the organized labor movement is responding extremely well. What is more difficult is how to make that worry and that support materialize on something tangible.
Right.
Because we've been stopped on our speeches by the people chanting, "You're not alone." Okay, but how can we materialize that in true fashion? And I think one of the ways is the union movement.
Martin, in terms of the upcoming elections, the PRD has generally not been that more progressive. I mean, it's been progressive, but hardly radical. What role is López Obrador playing in this movement? Is he, because this involves taking on the United States as state policy, is he adding that to his platform? Is he an important force? Or the movement, you know, what role is he playing in the United Front?
Well, since the IFE, the organism that rules the elections, declared that it was illegal for our candidates to campaign in the United States or outside or with the people cater to the people or directly to the people outside the country, the candidate has somehow the hands tied, but he has put out his plan for working with the immigrant community, and is basically on three fronts. The first one, of course, is to spur development here so that people don't have to leave. So he has made a point that he will be working in the communities that traditionally have been the forces sending people to the States, so that can stop. The other issue that he said is that he would do whatever it took at the diplomatic front to have a better relationship with the United States and work towards legalization of people. He's not talking about temp or a Bracero program, he's talking about legalization. And the other point that he's made is that the Mexican consulates all over the world will become a defense mechanism for human rights for workers outside Mexico.
Well,
so those are the three issues that he has touched on his platform.
Marta, can you, I think that's great. I mean, you know, given what we've seen folks essentially in many ways placate to a lot of the policies of the U.S., I think it's a very positive thing. Can you explain, as I remember a little bit of Mexican history, that, you know, in the past you had the CTM, the Confederation of Trade Unions of Mexico, who were pretty tied to the PRI and pretty conservative in many ways. How many organizations are participating in this April 28th day of action, a mobilization that's been called for a strike in Mexico?
Well, it's all the independent unions, which are a lot, and some of them are the same unions, but a fraction of the union is still playing the corporate model of unionization, and a part of them are struggling to free themselves and be really independent unions. So it's you can say it's the whole of the union movement, even including the more conservative parts of it.
Well, what would it look like if we were in Mexico City on April 28th? Where would the march start? How many people? I was there, you know, during the Sutar Sien struggle against privatization about 10 years ago when the bus drivers there had an amazing movement. We were at the Zocalo in Mexico City, and I never saw anything like it. The entire Zocalo was wall-to-wall people all the way to the back. There were speeches from the prison, from an attorney who was imprisoned at the time. We went on a march. We were attacked by the police in Mexico City. I was, you know, we were afraid that there would be like 1968. You know, they came in with billy clubs, broke us up. So give us a feel for what you think this is going to look like, how many people, where is it going to be, what are your real hopes at the maximum end of what this could look like?
Well, this is a May 1st march. So it's going to be done on the, it's going to take place on the context of El Día de los, del Trabajo.
So it'll be May 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm sorry.
And so we expect that the Zocalo will be absolutely and totally overwhelmed as it has been in the past. And you have to also take into account that the union movement, it's having, it's really fighting for survival.
Yes.
The attacks here to make unions a copycat of the unions in the United States that have no strike rights, and there's no really truly job protection, and many of the workers' rights that are traditional, like a work hour of 40-hour work hour. It's a thing in the past in the United States now. Nobody even talks about it. And that seniority rights are no longer valid to guarantee the security of your family. So the union movement here is on the move. And they're on the move because they're trying to make them a domesticated type of union where they don't really fight for workers' rights but are only an umbrella for contracts that are not very positive or really enforceable for the workers. So one of the issues that the movement is working here against is that it used to be that workers' unions were autonomous from the government in their will to name their leaders, their representatives, name their contracts. And right now, our Secretary of Labor, it's acknowledging whoever leader they want, and regardless of what the workers said. And they do this under the premise that those leaders are corrupt and we don't have to acknowledge them legally.
Marta, we have about a minute in the show. I'd like to just get a quick update also. I've heard that there's also been called a general boycott of American products. How's that going and what's your relationship to that?
Well, this is what we're trying to do on May 1st. May 1st is boycott day, boycott any and every U.S. product that you can. Kimberly-Clark is one of our goals because it has direct relationship with Sensenbrenner. So the unions are working with us in promoting the idea of stopping any purchase of American products on May Day.
Well, thank you, Marta. Marta is with the National Front for Unity and Autonomy of Unions. And that's the end of today's program on Voices from the Frontline. This is your co-host, Manuel Criollo, with Eric Mann. Thank you for joining us. We'd like to thank our guests, Jesse Diaz, Liz Sun Wu, and Marta Sanchez. Today we heard music from Nas. Tego Calderon, The Fabulosos Cadillacs, and Ricardo Arjona. You can listen to previous shows at www.thestrategycenter.org and send comments to voices@thestrategycenter.org. We'd like to thank our producer, Alan Minsky, production assistant, Lisa Adler, our engineer, Maggie LaPeak, and we'll see you next week for Voices from the Frontlines Radio. Don't miss this evening at 8 p.m., the strategy session with Antonio Gonzalez. And up next is Beneath the Surface with Susie Wiseman.
And on May 1st, be out in the street. We'll see you in the street on May 1st.
Si el norte fuera el sur, serían los yux los marginados. Ser moreno y chaparrito sería el look más cotizado. Marco sería el Rambo mexicano. Cindy Crawford, la Menchú de mis paisanos. Reagan sería Somoza.